We live in a society that is comfort driven. We live in a society that wants safety and surety. We live in a time period that we value those things, that we want life to work out, that we expect life to work out. We want it to all fit together. We want things to go our way. We want to be comfortable. You like comfort. How many like comfortable things? We have padded pews here. Do you remember when we didn't used to have padded pews? Some of you is like, well, no, because I didn't come to church then, because you didn't have padded pews. But we live in a society that values comfort, that lives in a society that values that ease and making things comfortable in your life. And Starla and I, a couple of weeks ago, we went shopping for a new mattress, and I never realized that the depth of how an industry goes for comfort. We walked in there, and the guy made us take a test. Just for fun sometimes, you know, go and check out a mattress store just for fun. And they give you a test on what is most comfortable for you. And who knew? Because, I mean, you're even unconscious. You don't even realize it, but the technology that goes into it. And I was joking with the guy, and I said, does anybody ever fall asleep during the test? He's like, oh, yeah. I'm like thinking, man, that's the way to do it. Just go to the mattress store, you know, over lunch, take a quick nap, you know, and power up. But we love that aspect of being comfortable. We love that aspect of surety. We don't want things that challenge us. We don't want things that push us outside of our comfort zone, that we live a life and we live in a society when we expect and we desire those things that go our way. We are comfort driven people. We are safety driven people. We are surety driven people. It's the nature of the world that we live in today. I was going through some different things. We're looking at some different trips and at the Grand Tetons, beautiful area. And I came across a list of comment cards given to the staff members of the park in the Grand Tetons. I don't know if you've ever been to the Grand Tetons or see them, but they're mountains, okay? It's a wilderness area, just beautiful. But these are some of the comment cards that have come back to the people there of some suggestions of how to make this a better place. And I've got them up on the screen here. Number one, trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go uphill. Comfort, right? Oh, they get better. Next one says, too many bugs and leeches and spiders and spider webs. Please spray the wilderness to get the areas rid of these pests. You're in the wilderness. You're in the mountains. They were here first. Please pave the trails so they can be snowplowed during the winter. Right, those mountain trails that you hike up, beautiful. How about this one? Chairlifts need to be in some places so that we can get to wonderful views without having to hike to them. Just give me a chairlift. Oh, a small deer came into my camp and stole my jar of pickles. Is there a way that I can get reimbursed? Please call. And then they gave their number. These are real. These are real concerns. Enough to actually take the time to fill out the card and then have the intestinal fortitude to actually hand it to the person. Oh, my goodness. Escalators would help on steep uphill sections. I know some of you have been to the Tetons. Can you imagine that? Hiking up this beautiful wilderness, and then you hear this, watch your step when getting on the escalator. You know, it's like, wait a second, something's not right here. Or how about this one? A McDonald's would be nice at the trailhead. Yes, before we get ready to hike and be healthy, there's nothing like a bout of fast food just to make it right. Right? And again, just trying to make things more comfortable. We are comfort-driven people. And here is the thing. These are funny. These are humorous. But the truth of it is that when things don't go the way that we want to around us, when things aren't comfortable anymore, when things are stressful, when things get tough, there is a desire in all of us just to walk away, just to give up, just to move on. Whether it be in a job situation where it's just like, this is just too hard. This is like, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. Escalating up to family, relationships. Can't do this anymore. I'm going to walk. I'm going to run. I'm going to leave. I'm going to abandon. I'm going to move on. Chapter 2, chapter 3. Moving on. Being our faith. The God, I don't understand it. The God, there's just too many questions. The God, this isn't going the way that I thought it should go. How can there be a loving God that cares about me when I'm going through all of this mess? And then the strange things about this is that these are the thoughts that we have on the inside. And yet they take longer to manifest on the outside. And I know that we have all kinds of different situations here within the sound of this message. And yet here we are in a church building, but I know this and you know this, is that we can give up inside a long time before we give up on the outside. And I know that there are people that come to churches and attend churches and all the outward sign says, yes, I believe in God, and yes, my faith is strong and I'm going through the motions, but inside we've given up. Inside we've walked away, and there's that disconnect between what I do and who I am, and it just feels like I'm going through the motions because my heart has given up. Because the truth of it is that life isn't easy. We face all kinds of problems. We face all kinds of situations that life is tough. And so when we want life to be one way and it isn't, we're tempted to quit. When we feel worn out, we're tempted to quit. When we're emotionally drained, we're tempted to quit. When we're scared or afraid of what might happen, we're tempted to quit and just walk away. And we live in a society where so much of that happens that it's now acceptable. Where so much of that happens that it's just commonplace. When the advice again and again on social media or friendships is just, you just need to walk away. You just need to quit. You just need to move on. And so rare do we hear, you know what? Hold on. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't give up. We live in a society that makes it so easy to quit, that's the choice. And yet that choice, that concept runs in direct contrast with what Scripture tells us. This whole series, talking about Weight Watchers, getting our soul healthy, is really based on this passage in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore we also, it's us, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. We've been talking about lay aside those things that pull at our attention. Lay aside those things that weigh us down. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. Those things that trip us up. Those sins which continue. We've been talking about how to overcome those, how to move past those. And let us run the race that is set before us. I skipped a word there. Let us run with what? What's the word say? With endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Why would God allow that word to be there? He could have easily just said, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to run the race. Run the course. Follow the path. Get done what's set before you. You know, you do what I'm telling you to do. You know, surround yourself with people that care and will encourage you and get your priorities right and get rid of the sin that pulls you down in life and just run the race. Yet we see that word there. And the truth of it is that God wanted that word to be there. Because the truth of it is God knew that there would be times and seasons and situations that you'd want to quit. Even with people in your life encouraging you. Even with laying down those burdens that distort our focus. Even by finding freedom from those things in our life that would pull us down. Finding victory from those sins. Even after doing all of that. Even when you're doing everything right. There will still be times where you just want to quit. And that is why God's word says run with endurance. Because there's going to be some times where you just want to quit. But don't give up. Don't give up. Turn to somebody and tell them, don't give up. Don't give up. But then we ask our question, then how are we supposed to do this then? Okay? I mean, how are we supposed to keep going when nothing changes? How are we supposed to run with endurance and not give up when it gets worse? How do we keep our faith when it seems like God keeps being so quiet? How do we keep talking to God? How do we keep praying when it seems like none of our prayers get answered? And everybody else's stupid prayers get answered? I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a situation where you really need something like serious from God? Not like you're praying for a new Lamborghini or something like that, you know, but it's like, God, I need a job. God, I need healing. God, I need a miracle in my family or my marriage. God, I need my faith to be restored. And it just seems like God is so quiet. And the next person sitting next to you, I mean, comes up to you, he's like, oh, I can't believe I just went to shopping and I prayed for God to give me a parking place. And it's like right up front, they opened one parking place in the store. And I just got to pull right into the store. It's beautiful. And you're like, shut up. Or how about this one? You're praying for a healing, and God, I need a miracle. And somebody says, you know what? My dog Fluffy was so sick, and we just prayed for him, and he just popped up and just was so healthy. And I'm like, God healed your dog? And here I am. Anybody? Just being honest? Now, those might be some extreme examples, but you know what I'm talking about. Where you're looking at people and it's like, what did I do, God? What's wrong with me? Where are you when I need you? How am I supposed to do this? That God, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm doing all the right things, God, and it's just getting worse. How are we supposed to do this when all around us the situations just keep piling up and everywhere we look, it just keeps breaking and some days we just don't want to get out of bed in the morning. And we're just on the verge of saying, I am one half step of saying, I'm done. As we look to God's word, we see such clear direction. And the beautiful thing is that it is tied perfectly with how God made you. I'm glad for a God that works both in the supernatural and the natural. And what I find in Scripture is this, that those things that are spiritual are also exemplified in those things that are natural. So it makes sense to us. Because the natural things we get. But then it seems like when we think about it spiritually, we lose the perception of it. And so what I love doing is connecting those two and seeing how God made you, both flesh and spirit, and God works in both of those things. When it comes to endurance in our flesh, those that are great at endurance, and that would not be me, all right? I'm talking about those athletes that can just run like forever, you know, you've seen these races. It's like, just run until you run out of land, right? Just go. Now, it used to be, for me, the 100-yard dash is an endurance run, all right? It's like, oh, can't we do like 99 and a half? You know, I'm like, almost there. Come on, keep going. Okay, but okay, marathon, okay, like anybody here run a 5K? Anybody here, like a couple 5K? Man, you guys are awesome. Anybody a 10K? Anybody do 10, nobody that crazy. Okay, God bless you if you do. I had a friend that ran a marathon 24 miles. He said, for me to run 24 miles, I better be being chased by something really scary. And even then, I just might say, you know, Lord, I'm ready to come home. You know, let it eat me, all right? 24 miles, but that's 26 miles. It's even longer. See, I'm trying to cut it short. Yeah, thank you. 26 miles. That's not even the big thing anymore. Do you know they have what they call like super marathons, which are 50 miles? Okay. And then they have this thing called the ultra marathon. It's 100 miles. And people run 100 miles. I do not understand this. Okay. So here's the thing, though. These people that do this, or the triathlon where you swim for 5 miles, then you ride your bike for, it's like 100 miles, I think, or 50, some ungodly number. And then you run a full marathon. Then you run for 24. And then you die, 26. And then you go to heaven. But the people that do this, okay, the people that do this, you know what they say? They say it's a mental thing. Endurance is almost, it's not completely because the body has limits, but here's the thing, it is almost all a mental thing because you are able to go much further than what your external is telling you. That internally, you are much stronger than you are externally. Now, these are the people that tell you. And again, we know this. We know this. That you know that endurance is mostly a mind game. It's mostly an internal message. That your body and your circumstances and your surroundings are screaming, quit, 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 quit. I'm dying. Quit, quit, quit. It's like, we just started, you know. I'm 10 feet into the 100-yard dash, you know. Quit, you're done, okay? And our mind says, keep going, keep going. Our heart says, keep going. Now, we understand this physically. But you know that the God that created you physically is the same God that created you spiritually, and there is the complete harmony between that. And here is the thing, that when it comes to us giving up, we so often allow the external to be the deciding factor of whether we stay or whether we quit. We allow our circumstances and our problems, we allow the situations around to define us. We allow whether things are successful or not, whether I'm comfortable or not, whether I'm happy or not. We allow those things, and we don't listen to the voice inside our heart saying, you have something in you that's greater than what's going on around you. Don't give up. You have something inside of you that is more powerful than the problem. You have something inside of you that is far greater than the situation. Don't give up. Don't give up. Something inside you is greater. The same physically, the same internally. And Paul writes so beautifully in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, for some of you that say we don't get enough Bible in our sermons, we're going to read the entire chapter this morning. This is an incredible chapter. This is one of those chapters that you just need to have marked and you need to know the reference. Because when someone says, I'm ready to give up, you say, let me read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you are on the verge of giving in, this is one of those passages that allow you to see, wait a second, I can do this. There's something more inside of me than what I gave it credit for. I have what it takes. And Paul writes this, and he writes this almost 2,000 years ago, and it is still just as relevant for us today. He says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, what's he say? We never give up. God has given you something brand new that allows you never to give up. Notice what he's saying. This wasn't the way that it used to be. This wasn't anything that I brought to the table. This wasn't anything that I'm able to do. But because of something God has given me, I now have what it takes to stand no matter what. He goes on, we reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. We're just saying, we're not making this up. We're not trying to hide this. We're telling the truth. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it's hidden only from the people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of the world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And he's saying that this message, when you come to discover this, you find out that it's true. And for those who don't think it's true, it's only because they haven't discovered it yet. But when you see it and you experience it, you understand there is something powerful in this. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. It's not about us. We don't have a self-help method. We don't have a book on, hey, how not to give up. Read my 10 easy steps. It's not about us. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake, meaning we found our place because we found our King. We have our power because we found the power. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts. And notice what he's talking about here. He is referencing what he said at the beginning. We don't give up. In dark times, we find the light. In dark times, we find illumination, not in ourselves, but because the God that said it at the beginning is still saying it today in the middle of my problem. Then when we go through a valley, God says, "Let there be light." When we are going through those dark times, God says, "I'm the light that you can lean on." It says that let there be light in the darkness. He has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ in that relationship that we have. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this treasure. Great promise, but here's the thing, we're still human. We're still human. Incredible power, but yet we're still fragile. How many's ever made a mistake in their life? How many has ever made a mistake after coming to God? Yeah, absolutely. He's saying, look, even though we have this incredible treasure in us, we're still human. And he ties it together. He says, but this makes it clear that whose power? Understand it. Whose power? Whoa, what's it say? Whose power? Our power. Our great power. Turn to somebody and say, you have great power. But where is our great power from? And he's referencing what he started with. The power never to give up, this great power in us to never back down, to never throw in the towel, no matter where the circumstances. Where does this power come from? Power is from God, not from ourselves, but yet it is our power. God has given you power, but it's not your power. God has given you ability, but it's not your ability. You have the ability to do what you can't do because we have a God that is able. We have a God that is more. And Paul is writing this to them, and he's writing us to them, to us today, that you are facing a situation, you are facing a problem that you can't overcome, but God is telling you, you can overcome it. And it's not your power. It's God's power. He says it makes it clear because we're fragile. It's clear because we're not good enough. It's clear because we're not strong enough that our power is from God. Verse 8, for we are pressed on every side by troubles. How many can say amen to that verse? Amen. Oh yeah, he's preaching now, we know that. But he goes on, but we're not crushed. By whose power? God's power in us. We are perplexed. Anybody ever been perplexed? Some of you are wondering what perplexed is. Think about that. That's kind of funny. You'll get it later on today. It's like, oh, yeah, perplexed about being perplexed. But we're not driven to despair. Meaning this, I don't know what to do. That's what perplexed means. I don't have the answer. Some of you know exactly what that's like. You are facing situations and you don't see a way in, around, above, below, and you have no clue. And it's so easy for us when we rely upon our own human power to look at a situation and say, there is no hope. I give up. But Paul is writing us, because you have something in you. You are able to look at something that you don't have the answer for, and yet you don't despair. How's it going to work? I have no clue. Isn't it great? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you have been in front of situations where you've said those exact same things, and now you're on the other side and you say, I've seen what God brought me through and I didn't see it coming, but I didn't give up because of what He placed in me. So you, this is going to become your favorite chapter in Scripture. This is so powerful, so powerful. We are hunted down. You ever have a phone call ring and you don't want to answer it? Some of you are not nodding and you're nodding. You know exactly what I'm talking about. How did they find me? Won't they just leave me alone? I can't get away from this. I'm trying to separate myself from that problem, that situation, and it just keeps coming. We are hunted down. Oh, I love this. But never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in what? Our bodies. Not just our spirit, but how we live. And how we act, and how we smile, and how we go through life. Meaning this, that when we go through trials, it's an awesome opportunity for Christ to be seen by others. I've heard stories and I have seen it in my own life that some of you, and you know who you are and you've shared, that you've gone through situations and you've enacted this verse, that you've still had peace in the middle of the storm and you still had joy even though there was no circumstances for joy. And people have come up to you and say, what is different about you? Why haven't you given up? Why are you still smiling? How can you have such peace even though everything is going wrong in your life? And you've had the opportunity, as I have, to say, it ain't me. It ain't me. But there's something in me that's different. I found something. I found someone that has given me the power, that has given me what I need, that He has given me this new thing, and that I don't ever have to give up. I don't ever have to give in because God has dwelt in my heart, and it's His power, not my power. Since we see it in our bodies. And yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. And He was writing in a time where that meant literally, not figuratively. That because of their belief that they could be killed, He's writing this to people who were hiding for their very lives because of their faith. He says, so that the life of Jesus may be evident in our dying bodies. He says that even to the extreme, it holds out. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith that the psalmist, that David had when he said, I believe in God, so I spoke. I love this. We could spend a whole series on this, that our belief drives our actions. I believe that God is still in control, and so I'm going to speak and I'm going to act as if He is in control. I believe that God is more powerful than my problem. So I am going to believe and act that God is more powerful than my problem. He didn't say, I'm going to believe that I don't have a problem. Okay, God did not want you to be stupid. God did not want you to be ignorant. In no text in Scripture do you ever find that God tells you just act like it ain't a problem. But what He tells you is this, just act like God is greater than your problem. We don't act like, oh, nothing's wrong. I'm just not going to claim it. I'm just going to act like nothing's wrong. I'm just going to pretend, put on my happy face, go to my happy place, and just sit here like some kind of blithering idiot and just smile. How are you? I'm great. I'm great. I'm great. I'm great. No. He says, be real. Know that a challenge is a challenge. Know that there will have hard times. There will be struggles. But you don't have to give up because you got something in you that's stronger. You don't have to pretend. You can stand on something that's true and that lasts. He says, just like David, I believe in God, so I spoke, I acted. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, oh, I love this, will also raise us with Jesus and present himself together with you, that we are going to find a time when God raises us. And what he's saying is this, is that power in you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And I love this. All of this is for whose benefit? For your benefit. All of this. This gift, this power, this anointing, it's for your benefit. And as for God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. Oh, I love this, because you know what he's saying here? He says, don't keep this message to yourself. Because you're not the only one going through a problem. You are not the only one going through a struggle. You are not the only one that's had bad days, bad weeks, bad months, bad years, bad lives. That there are others around you and you need to share this. And he says, God's grace is for everybody and you need to share what God has given you so that who can be glorified? God can be glorified. When what happens? When somebody else with a problem realizes that God has something for them, that they say, you didn't have to give up because of what God did. I don't have to give up because of what God did. And I need to tell that to somebody else. Some of you didn't even know this was in here. You were holding your Bible all this time, and the answer was right there. Great chapter. I'm telling you, highlight it. Point it out. Share it. Go to work and read it to somebody. He says that God will receive more and more glory. There will be more and more thanksgiving. We're going to be changed. And verse 16, and that is why, he's summarizing it, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, how many can relate to that? Do you know that life is 100% fatal? All of us have an expiration limit. It's all temporary. Okay? Though our bodies are dying. Do you know that you are all getting older? Do you know that you are all older than when you came here today? You've all aged since the time you walked in. Doesn't that make you feel comfortable? Yeah. Isn't this encouraging? That we're all getting older. Even though our bodies are dying, some of us faster than others. I love this. Our spirits are being renewed every day. There is something in you that is eternal. There is a part of you that needs to be renewed every day. Even though I'm getting older and I'm getting tired, even though the problems are weighing down on me, God, every day I can renew that gift, that power, that authority in me. For our present body, our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Some of you just need to remember that verse and just quote it. This is small and it's temporary. It's small and it's temporary. Because here's the thing, the enemy tries to tell you the exact opposite. It's big and it ain't going away. But God's word says it's small and it's on its way out. Yet they produce for us, what? A glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Your problem is doing something wonderful in your life. Your problem is exposing the power of God in your life. Your situation is causing God to receive the glory and you to realize just how much God loves you. Oh, we could just settle on that one for a while. Verse 18, he wraps it up, this whole chapter. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. He's saying it's not about the external. Rather, fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. Turn to somebody and say, your problems will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. And this is why you never have to give up. This is why you never have to give in. I challenge you that when you are facing something, this is one of those chapters you just need to get out and you need to read it out loud. You need to get yourself in front of a mirror or lock yourself in the car and just preach this and allow this to be preached into your life. God's word speaks. God's word is written to you that you don't have to give up. Turn to somebody, tell them, don't give up. All right. I want to wrap this up. I don't want to go too long here. Okay. Some of you are saying, don't give up. We've got to give up sometime to end the message. All right. Really practical. How are we going to do this? How do we do this? How does this, what does this look like for me? Here's three steps to not give up. When we understand what it's all about, when this verse comes into play, we need to know the practical steps. Three things are important. Number one, know that there will be times you want to give up. That's okay. Do you know that Jesus was tempted to give up? Whoa. Read. When he went into the garden before Calvary, you know what he prayed? Lord, if there's any way that I don't have to do this, I don't want to do this. That if Jesus was tempted and faced situations where he wanted to give up, then who do you think you are? Turn to somebody, tell them, I'm not better than Jesus. Right? So there will be times when you want to give up. That's what it means to be human. That's normal. It's okay. Don't feel bad. Feeling that way is not a sin. In fact, Jesus quoted, and he says, in this world, you will have trouble. He said that. It's a verse. In this world, you will have trouble. But he followed up and says, but I've overcome the world. Even though you feel it, though, here's the important thing, is you don't have to rely on the external to decide. I feel like giving up because of everything around me. But I'm not going to give up because of everything in me. I feel like throwing in the towel because of everything around me. But I'm not going to give up because of everything that God has done in me. So, turn to somebody. You're going to help me preach and say, it's okay to want to feel like you want to give up. But then say, but don't give up. Okay? The second thing is this. We need to do what we know to do. We've been camping out in this verse in Hebrews for a while, and there are some things that we need to do. Here's the thing. We need to surround yourself with support. You need to surround yourself with encouragement, encouragers. You need to surround yourself with people who believe like you believe there to encourage you. You ever have a bad day and somebody come up to you and say, hey, you know what? I'm here with you. What's that do? It bolsters your spirit. That's how God works. That's what the body of Christ is about. When you start pulling yourself away and thinking you're either better or worse than anybody and just, I'm going to do my own thing here, you're not going to make it. You need to have people around you. You need to surround yourself with support, and you need to lay aside the weights. Some of you are going through situations because of your own stupidity. Can I just say that out loud? I just did. Some of you are going through situations and you feel like giving up because of your own sin. Let God free you. Let God forgive you. Let God mend you. Let God do what God can do. Do what you know to do. Surround yourself with people. Again, loving our Wednesdays and our small groups and being in church and connecting. Get our priorities right. Allowing God to forgive us and heal us. Okay? Do what you know to do. Okay? But even then, there's still going to be times. And here's the third step. This is so powerful. Oh, because this is what makes the third step is this. Renew the Holy Spirit within you. Remember what he said, our bodies are dying, but our spirits are renewed every day. Realize where your power comes from and say, God, I can't make it because of what's around me. I need to have you inside of me. God is not a one-time experience. God is not an annual experience. God is not a monthly experience. God is a moment-by-moment experience. And then we can renew that spirit. We can renew that presence of God every time, every moment. We can renew this presence of God every day. When was the last time that God refilled you? And I'm not talking just in just the Lord, me and you kind of prayer. I'm talking when there was something powerful. When God filled you in a greater way than your problem is overwhelming you right now. See, we allow the emotion and the pressure and we allow the effect of the problem to overwhelm us. We allow that to just crush us. We allow us that to take us down. But when was the last time that the presence of God exceeded the depth of your problem? Did you know there is nothing holding you back from experiencing that? That God is saying, I'm here. I've already done the work. It is available to you. It is your choice. Are you going to let the surroundings crush you, or are you going to say, wait a second, I have access to a greater power. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. When was the last time that you worshiped in a way you didn't care what anybody else thought? That you did not worship God with rear view mirrors on. You know what I'm talking about? You're praying? Like, you know, wonder what they're thinking. Okay. Anybody else got their hands up? Okay, I'll do a one-hander. Oh, you laugh, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it works both ways, right? Well, I'm the only one sitting down. Well, I better stand up. I don't want to look like I'm too unspiritual. Or I'm the only one standing up. Maybe I better sit down. When was the last time that you worshiped God in a way you just didn't care? Because here's the thing. You go into a problem, you don't care what anybody else thinks. You know what I mean? You face some situation. You go into an emergency room. There are people there going, well, I better not show any emotion because, you know, people are looking. So, no, it's my baby. It's my child. I'm emotional. Why? Because it's me. When's the last time you worshiped God with that kind of freedom? Oh my goodness, we're missing out. We're missing out. Renew the spirit inside of you, because when you do that, you need to realize what it is. That when you renew the spirit inside of you, it is the same thing that got Jesus up from the dead. That is the same spirit. The Holy Ghost is the same power. Your problem may have looked like, oh, you're dead and gone. It has knocked you cold. But wait a second. When I renew the spirit in me, the same thing that got Christ out from the death, hell, and the grave is the same spirit that relies in me and saying, I'm back up. I'm back up. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I have something in me that is greater than everything around me. And because of that, I don't have to quit. Did you know that heaven is not for good people? You know that heaven is not for perfect people. Heaven is simply for those who don't quit. And don't take my word, take Jesus' word. Look what Jesus said. But the one who endures to the end. He didn't say the one who successfully or the one that wins the race. He says the one that just keeps hanging in there. The one that doesn't give up in face of the problem. What happens? You win. That's what heaven is. Heaven is going to be full of people who have had problems and situations and trials and bad days and bad months and failed and went through all kinds of things, but they said, we didn't give up. We were pressed, but we weren't crushed. We were hunted, but God never gave up on us. We were surrounded, but we didn't give up because of something inside of us. Keep hanging in there. Don't give up. Turn to somebody and tell them, don't give up. One of my most favorite verses is this, Proverbs 24:16. He says this, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. Oh, if you could get the message of this. Righteousness is not defined by your standing. Righteousness is defined by your getting up. He says, oh, isn't it horrible? He fell seven times. Oh, my goodness, what a failure. You know what God looks at? He says, every time he fell, he got back up. He's not giving up. He's not giving in. He got knocked down, but he's not giving up. That's what righteousness is. That's what faith is. That's what God says. That's my child. You just keep getting up. You just keep getting up. You just keep calling me. I love that. It's powerful. Don't give up. Don't give up for you. Don't give up on those around you. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your loved ones. Don't give up on the ones that just seem so hopeless right now. Don't you dare give up. I heard this story from another minister. And he gave me the name George Mueller. He prayed for his neighbor for 45 years. He witnessed to his neighbor for 45 years. And do you know when George Mueller's neighbor was saved? At George Mueller's funeral. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Romans 15:5 says this. It says, may the God who gives what? The very thing that you need is from God, not yourself. And so we need to look to God for what we need. Don't go looking to yourself. Don't just try. It's not about you trying harder. It's about not you gritting your teeth more. It's about you going to the source of it. The God that gives endurance and encouragement, they are tied together. When you endure by the power of Christ, you are encouraged by the power of Christ. That means that you can run the race with a smile. That means that you can go through the problem with joy. It says, the God that gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And so we are faced today with this incredible message, but yet you have to make a decision. From what perspective are you going to make your decision from? Are you going to make your decision from the external? This is, yeah, it sounds good, but you didn't know my problem. Yeah, all these verses are really good and it's exciting. I'm glad it works for somebody else, but you don't know how big my problem is. Are you going to allow the external to control your actions? Or are you going to come to the truth that there is something that is in you or available to be in you that will give you exactly what you need? If you want to live from the external, then God bless you. We will do our best to encourage you, but I promise this, it ain't going to get any better. You're not that strong. If you keep trying to do it on your own, I'm sorry. Best of luck. There's no guarantees. And so you can say, well, I'm just going to just sit here and I'm going to listen. I don't need anything. I'm good. I'll just make it through this. Life is pretty good right now. I'm glad we have good times. I'm glad that God gives us breaks every now and then when things are going good. But how many know that that's temporary too, right? Just the same way as our problems are temporary, so are those wonderful, sunny, 80-degree days. It just seems like everything goes our way. It's temporary. We have ups. We have downs. God says, hey, I'm true. I'm true. I'm true. If I want to use the external, I'm saying, I don't need God. Thanks for sharing. I'm good. But for those of us that want to adopt this into our hearts and realize the truth of it, we realize the source of it. It's not you, but it's from a Savior. And that's why we have an altar. This is a place where we come, where we focus. It's a statement of saying, I need God. I don't care who else knows. This is a place where we make it very comfortable and very easy to pray a very hard prayer. And saying, okay, God, renew that spirit in me. Okay, God, I need that spirit in me for the very first time. God, would you fill me? God, I need your presence. I can't do this on my own. I'm fighting something, and you were speaking right to my circumstance today. You knew a long time ago that I would be right here. You got my attention. But what are you going to do about it? You just going to wrap it up, go home, watch Super Bowl today, call it a day? Or is this going to be one of those moments that you say, wait a second, my problems were superseded by a God that loves me, a God that cares about me, a God that is available to me. And the beautiful thing is the same God that offers it to you is just that. It is an offering. God isn't going to grab you by the head and drag you down here and say, you're going to do this. But he's also not going to stand at the door and say, no, you can't leave. The choice is yours. I want you to have this. I want you to be able to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and go, yep, that's true. Yep, that's me. Yep, that's where I am. I understand that. I feel that because that is my story. I want you to be able to share to others how God has been victorious in your life. Share with others how God is making a change in your life. But it's your decision. Can we stand? And we're just going to, I'm going to pray a quick prayer, and then I'm going to open this altar. God wants to do something this morning. God wants to change something this morning. God wants to set you free. God wants you to find whatever you are looking for this morning. God is that great. Lord Jesus, we have heard the power of your word, and you have spoke to us.